So then did the idea of franchising come at this moment you're talking about? Or?
They did. And one story to personalize, and I always like, when I tell stories, I like to personalize it. It's easier for people to understand and remember. But there's a young man from Perry, Noble County farm kid, named Marvin Gyrus. And Marvin is a young kid. He had looked for a business in Perry, didn't find it, worked for pennies, learned about structure and corporate organization and all the lessons of a pennies, but could tell that it was going to be slow promotion. He was ambitious, impatient, had a kid, another kid coming. So he and his wife said, let's go into business. And so they go to Fairview, Oklahoma, and open a Dairy Boy. And that's out of Enid. A dairy company in Enid had decided there's too much milk production here in the 1950s, and they learned that once they sold all the milk, sold their milk, they still had left over. So they started taking that and converting that to ice cream mix. This is the age of soft serve ice cream, and largely it's because of this overproduction of milk in America when you still had local dairies. And all of these farmers were still, you know, trying to make a living by having 10 milk cows. And they'd put the milk out in the can, and the dairy company would come by and pick up all these big old milk cans that you and I remember. But with that overproduction, they go to soft serve. So they, to make money with that, they have to have a place to sell the soft serve. So they're financing young, ambitious people to go out and open a franchise. And there's a company in Wichita that makes these kind of these Airstream kind of Art Deco style dairy boys. And so Marvin Gyrus finds out about that. He has to have a little cash, leases a place in Fairview. Enid provides the product, pay at the end of the month. The company in Valentine is the name of the company in Wichita that's doing this across the country, converting old World War II airplane making skills to making these Valentine diners. And he buys that on credit and opens up with just he and Barbara, his wife, running it. And at the end of the day, he knows what his profit is because he started with $22 in the morning and he has $23 at the end of the day. So it's that kind of operation. One day, Charlie Pappy, after he and Troy had come up with his franchising idea, pulls in. And he looks at the operation and watches it for a while and all these people coming and going. He goes in and say, young man, I need to talk to you. He says, what's your profit and loss statement? Or what's your P&L? He says, what's a P&L? And he said, well, it's your profit loss. What'd you start with? He goes, I don't know. He says, at the end of the day, I look at what I have in my pocket, and I go buy my stuff. Next day, I look, and that's my profit. He says, oh, you can do better. Goes to a TGNY, comes back. Here's a penny record book. Teaches Barbara how to fill in profit and loss. And he comes back, and he gets to know Marvin Gyrus. Finally, he comes back and says, young man, you're too ambitious for this little dairy boy. You're making a lot of money? Oh, yeah. I make a lot more money than I could at pennies. But he said, well, you can do better. Why don't you come in with me and my partner, and you'll be part of a franchise that we can open in Alva, which is a college town. It has the kids who want those hamburgers and shakes. There's nothing that would really compete with us. You take your energy, our business plan, and they open that next Sonic in Alva. It's one of the first five. And Marvin just takes to it and starts expanding and becomes really a protege of Charlie Pappy. He has that outgoing personality. He's a natural salesman, energy abundant, with a strong partner there in Barbara, farm girl, again, from Perry, Noble County. And so they're doing well as a family. The business is working and everything is exploding. Well, they're recruiting other people like Matt Winslow from Tecumseh, who's doing the same thing at Tecumseh and expanding around him. Ralph Mason, who was an IBM salesman. And if you were working for IBM in the 1950s and early 60s, that means you're on the fast track. But a lot of movement. He was a family man, strong church leader, didn't want to do that. He sees this, goes to Troy, so he becomes one of Troy's proteges. And he's working with Troy, and he's expanding, become the largest franchisee in Sonic history with well over 300 stores. And so they're attracting this generation of young people willing to work hard with organizational skills that can motivate their local partners and take advantage of this system. In what Troy and Marvin are making, up to 67 when things change, is that they're making a nickel royalty on each sack use for a hamburger. They didn't want to have to go out and stand over somebody and count on someone's honesty, even though most people are honest to a degree, but people tend to cut corners or forget. And so to make it simple and to cut down on overhead at the central office that Troy eventually moves to Oklahoma City, he makes it very simple. He finds a paper company led by a man who's still with us today, and they name it Cardinal Company. Bob White is the man's name. And young Bob White sees Troy Smith, loves him, loves Charlie Pappy, and they say, if you will print our hamburger bags, we'll send these hamburger bags out of all of our stores, and they have to use our bags. And when you go out the next month, if you replace 200 bags, that meant they sold 200 hamburgers, which means we're going to get a nickel. We'll charge them a nickel for each one. And so that's how they're doing it. And at one point, someone brings in for another company, a efficiency expert. And that corporate America was looking for efficiencies at the time. So this efficiency expert was in town, and someone says, hey, you need to go see this guy over at Sonic. He's really expanding. So the consultant comes in, interviews Troy. He says, Troy, tell me about your business. He says, oh, yeah, I've got like 400 stores or whatever it was at the time. He said, man, that's a good operation. What's your gross income? He said, well, if you take all of them, you know, gave him a big figure. He says, well, how many staff have you got here in Oklahoma City? He said, two of us, me and my wife. He said, what? He said, well, how many trucks have you got to deliver stuff? He said, don't have any. We let them buy their own stuff. He said, well, how about your accounting office to keep tracking? Oh, I don't. Cardinal does that for me. And the guy says, I cannot help you. You're about as efficient as I've ever seen anybody. But Troy was accumulating his own wealth, buying property, expanding. He decided not to compete with his franchisees, a man of integrity. He thought, well, if I'm going to run this organization, I don't want Marvin Gyrus or one of these franchisees who's investing their lives in this to think that I'm competing with him. So he says, I'm not going to run any. He sold what franchises he owned, went into buildings, real estate. He understood that. That had come from the land, oil man, leases, contracts. He's good at that. So he builds up his own portfolio of land in finding these entrepreneurs. Then he has Sonic Supply. And Charlie is running that part of it, and that is selling a package. So, John, you want to open a store in Tecumseh? Okay. Well, you've got to buy the franchise, but that comes with a sign. That comes with all this printed material. For $500, you can become a franchisee. Well, so Sonic Supply was making that money, and they found the local company to build the signs, to build the canopies and all of that. So they were making money in construction. Well, all that's working well until 1967 when Charlie Pappy dies, heart attack. Breaks Troy's heart. Here's my partner, my soulmate, almost in the business world. He's gone. Well, he takes two of his most aggressive and efficient franchisees, Matt Winslow from Tecumseh and Marvin Gyrus, and brings them in to run Sonic Supply. So they start running Sonic Supply. Troy is continuing to control the franchisee, but as they're out looking, they're saying, hey, yeah, we're building you this. Who do you know that might want a franchise 30 miles down the road? Because there's no competition. They knew the demographics of a Sonic. And so it just starts expanding wildly. And then from about 1970, as they're getting this going, to 1980, and really the second Great Depression in Oklahoma with the collapse of the oil patch, really beginning with bank failures, they expand over 1,000 stores, almost 1,200 stores in one decade. It's that fast. It's one of the fastest growing food networks in the country. And it's a closely held corporation. So some of these franchisees also own stock in Sonic Supply. And so, but it's this very efficient operation that really is built on expansion, a decentralized business plan, some centralized sources, but the motivation to run a place is there with a local manager. The motivation is there for that kid flipping hamburgers because they might get the next franchise if they'll prove themselves. Local bankers are willing to loan them because it's bringing a couple of jobs to town. So the financing is there, the labor structure is there, the efficiency of the menu, innovations coming out, and it's working.